There are two scripture readings. The first one is Psalm 65. Psalm 65. To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. So far the first reading of God's word. Then we also read Luke chapter 22, the verses 35 through 38. Luke chapter 22, and we read the verses 35 through 38. And the Lord Jesus is instructing his disciples just in the night in which he would be betrayed and arrested. And then we read in verse 35, and the Lord Jesus said unto his disciples, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Beloved congregation, in the midst of tensions that are happening in our world, we may come together to give the Lord thanks for all the riches of his goodness, that if we look around us, we see the golden grain, and we see the valleys teeming with new life, with the crops and the blessings that we see all around us in our beautiful province that has been so richly blessed. If we drive through the farmland and we see all the abundance, tokens of God's goodness, of His care. And so as we are coming here together to give thanks, we must realize that the Lord has given us so much good in the year that lies behind us, that we have received so much, and that in contrast to so many others, but also in contrast to generations that have lived before us here in our country. And as we look around us, we are a very privileged people. We see in this all the fullness of Christ. For it's from the fullness of the care of the Lord Jesus that all these blessings flow to us. Because we didn't earn these blessings. The Lord Jesus Christ earned also God's general grace, whereby He fills the earth and showers down blessings. We can compare it to the sun. The sun shines brightly, and all the beams radiate its warmth and its light and its healing strength. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He shines in glory. He has earned all these blessings, and He takes care of this world. That the world exists is because of His sacrifice. That the world continues is because what the Lord Jesus has done on Calvary. Therefore also daily blessings are showered down upon us. He is in control of all the world. He has all power and dominion. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been blessed in this past year. It was a fruitful season. The harvest is abundant. What miracle that the earth brings forth so much produce, fruit. It's a miracle. The fruits you could eat yesterday that you hope to eat today, they are all tokens of God's goodness. How is it possible? A seed thrown in the dark soil and the seed dies, but actually it germinates and a plant comes forth full of rich fruit. It's a miracle. We see the miracles around us, and let us not get used to it, but let it be for us a miracle. Because that's what it is, a miracle of God's power, but also a miracle of God's grace. The wheat crop could be harvested. The corn grew abundantly. The Lord has given food to cattle, to the animals, and to man. And that's all flowing forth from the Lord Jesus. Because in the Lord Jesus are contained all the riches of strength, of wisdom, of grace, and blessing. Yes, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that implies a fullness of blessing and care what the Lord has given. And that produce came forth above our expectation. And so in this Thanksgiving service, we wish to reflect upon the words we find in Luke 22, verse 35. They reflect a certain circumstance in which the disciples were. And our position and their position is not fully comparable. But one thing is very comparable, and that's that little word, nothing. Because the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, when I sent you without purse and without scrip and without shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. And if we look back at this past year, it was not always easy. There was sickness. There was also distress. There was even danger. There was grief. There was disappointment. Sicknesses. There was tension, stress at work, and whatever you have. But if you look back, what must we all say if the Lord Jesus would ask us this morning? And He is asking us through His Word this morning. Did you lack anything? And what must we say? The answer must be, we lacked nothing. The Lord was always there. In the midst of disappointments or sickness or hospitalizations or grief or at a funeral, we lacked nothing physically and spiritually. He has sustained us and blessed us. And therefore it is fitting that upon this Thanksgiving Day we meditate on the abundance of God's goodness. And we see God's care. We see its cause, the cause of all this goodness. And we see our calling, what this means for us. The abundance of God's goodness. We see God's care, the cause, and our calling. So this portion of Scripture leads us to a turning point in the lives of the disciples. So far, the Lord Jesus had cared for them. They followed Him, and He took care of all their needs. He watched over them. They followed Him. They left everything behind. They didn't take with them a big duffel bag full of food. No, they just left everything. They left their fishing nets and they followed Him. And Matthew, the publican, he also called Levi, he was in his tribute booth. And the Lord Jesus came by and said, "Follow me." And he followed. He didn't take money along. He left everything behind. And the Lord Jesus had cared for them all their days, all those years that He watched over them. He cared for them every day. And then at a certain occasion, the Lord Jesus sent them out to proclaim the gospel. They went two by two to all the various villages throughout the land of Israel, where the Lord Jesus later on would follow. They would be His heralds, and they would do miracles already and heal the sick and cast out devils, and they would preach the gospel. And then later on the Lord Jesus would make a tour through all those villages. But the Lord Jesus sent them out. They didn't have to bother about sandals. Just go. Don't bother about money. Just go. Don't bother about a purse. They didn't have to take a purse along, no money, not even a scrip. Well, what is a scrip? Boys and girls, mums and dads, do you know what a scrip is? A scrip is a bag used by shepherds. We find that, for instance, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, where we read David took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. That's against Goliath. But a shepherd's bag, that's a scrip. A scrip was used by shepherds, but also by travelers. It's a traveling bag, a duffel bag. Matthew 10, verse 10. The disciples had to preach to the lost sheep of Israel. And yet they should not take along a scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. And the Lord had cared for them. And that's what the Lord Jesus is bringing to their memory here in this evening. The evening in which he was going to be betrayed. A change is going to happen now in the lives of the disciples. So far, the Lord Jesus cared for them. He made sure that people crossed their paths who would provide for them. Their focus had to be on the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples had to be taught how to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. For after those years that the Lord Jesus was on earth, they had to go out and proclaim the gospel. And the Lord Jesus now calls to their memory, did you lack anything? Nothing. Nothing, Lord. Thou hast provided for all our needs. But now, things were going to change in the life of the disciples. The Lord was still going to provide for them. He was still going to take care of them. When he was in heaven, and they would go out in various directions to proclaim the gospel among the heathen, the Lord would still care for them and provide for them, but it would still be different. They now had to take precautions, not overly, but they had to use sober mind evaluations of reality. They must prepare themselves now for a new period. So far, the Lord had kept them in the shade, had kept them and protected them from all the assaults of the enemy. But the Lord was training them that they would gain more insight, more that their strength would increase, that they would be more courageous and better be prepared for the struggles that lay ahead. So the Lord Jesus had treated them as children, gently. But now the time had come that the Lord was going to send them out to proclaim the gospel. And now they had to be cautious. They had to realize that struggles would come. The enemy will attack them. There will be sufferings. There will be temptations. There will be struggles and strife. And that's why the Lord Jesus told them to buy a sword. That's not a real sword, because the disciples didn't understand it fully either. They said, Lord, here are two swords. It is enough. And then Peter later on that same night going to draw his sword and he will attack and fight for his master. Put your sword away. The Lord doesn't mean a real sword. It's not that the kingdom of heaven has to be proclaimed by violence and by fighting with weapons and with swords. No, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual fight. It's to give resistance to the devil. It is to be faithful under persecution. When you are interrogated, the Lord Jesus is saying that you would be faithful and resist. Now a struggle will come. It's not a physical war with real swords, but a spiritual struggle, and that will also have physical implications of suffering and even dying for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And all those disciples whom the Lord Jesus loved so greatly, so much, they were all going to die as a martyr, except for John. And the Lord warns them for that. But he would provide for them. But they should take precautions. When they go out on missionary journeys, not that they can provide for everything, but they should be sensible. The first time they went out without a purse, without a scrip, but now You should take a scrip. You should take a purse. You should proclaim the gospel. You should proclaim and do whatever is whatever you can do to promote the gospel, you should do. Be diligent. You should do all you can to assist yourself to go out to proclaim the gospel. And of course, they were not to be overly concerned, because the Lord Jesus said that they should not be concerned about what you should eat or what you should drink, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Not overly concerned, but they had to use common sense. They couldn't just say, oh, we can go out and everything will work out well. No. They had to do all they could. And at the same time, trust in the care of the Lord. They had to take necessary precautions and preparations in carrying out their calling. And therefore, the Apostle Paul labored with his own hands. He didn't say, well, somehow it'll all work out. No, he labored with his own hands. And likewise, the early congregations, they would take up collections for the apostles to support them. But the reality is that from now on, the disciples should expect difficulties, struggles, even hardships, even suffering. And the Lord is encouraging them by asking them, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. And that's still going to be the case. They would still lack nothing. He would still care for them. But they had to be vigilant and be careful. Not to be anxious about this present life, what you shall eat and how you shall be dressed, but still be careful. And so, because they lacked nothing in the past, they could be assured that the Lord would somehow still provide for them after they had done what they could. So the Lord Jesus showed his kindness in caring for his disciples. And now, when the Lord Jesus is close to his crucifixion, the following morning early he will be crucified. He is full of care for his disciples. He is not thinking about his own sufferings and therefore being silent and not saying much and withdrawn and contemplating what he has to go through. Nothing of that. The Lord Jesus is fully engaged in caring and loving his disciples. He wants his disciples to acknowledge that he had cared for them, and that they may realize he will still care for us. For the Lord Jesus is a good master, and his service is a service of love. And at times his servants may go through struggles and be low, and yet he will help them. Even though he may try them, he will not leave them. He will never forsake them. As they go through the waters, they will go through the waters, but the waters will not overflow them. At the times they will go through the fire, but the flames will not devour them. They can be brought very low, and yet the Lord will redeem them and save them out of all their distresses, out of all their needs. And that's the care and the goodness of the Lord. And therefore God's people, looking unto Christ, seeking first the Lord Jesus, they should never despair. And they should never complain. In this past year, what did you lack? We all must say, we lacked nothing. We have so many clothes, At times we bring them to the second-hand store. And we have so much to eat, we can't even eat it all. And the harvest was so abundant that we even pick and choose what we want to keep. And the Lord gave us beautiful homes to live in. The Lord gave rain and sunshine. He gave blessing upon our farms, upon our businesses. Work could continue. It was often even booming, so busy. The children could go to school. We had health care. We live in a nation of law and order. The Lord has given so much. We lacked nothing. And therefore it's good that upon this day we would reflect upon the abundance of God's loving kindness, His care for us, His mercy. Our sins rose up against Him, and yet blessings showered down upon us. And therefore we should not complain. We should not murmur. We should not grumble when things do not go our way, but ask the Lord for strength to carry on. And that we would be truly thankful that we have received the necessities of life and even far beyond that. If we review the providences of God, the guidance of God, to observe how the Lord has led us through difficulties, how the Lord has answered prayer. Much prayer has been lifted up, and we all had our prayers, our petitions. And has the Lord not answered? Has the Lord not shown His goodness? We should not complain. It's sad, but you and I are prone to complain. But we should not do that, but be thankful. And we must reckon ourselves as people who have been very well dealt with. That's the care of all God's goodness. But then we see the cause of God's goodness. What is the cause of all God's care? We saw it already in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He died, He suffered. We mentioned it already. That's the cause. That's the meriting cause. And why did the Lord Jesus do this all? Because God the Father is full of mercy and kindness. Yes, the triune God is full of loving kindness and care. It's the Spirit of the Lord who is poured out and works also in nature. He gives forth new life. It's the triune God, the fullness of His goodness. He is love. God the Father is love. God the Son is love. And God the Holy Spirit is love. And His love is reflected upon all His works, His kindness. He has compassion upon this world. And therefore He cares. The cause of all God's care rests in God Himself. Because the Lord is moved with compassion and tenderness. He is not indebted to us at all. The fact that God is good towards us rests only in His sovereign well pleasure. The Lord gives us so much reason to thank the Lord for all His blessings. The fullness of the Lord is like light shining brightly. In the beams of this light there is eternal blessedness. And His care is more than enough. It's not because of your efforts. It's not because of your abilities that the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed because of His goodness. That's the sole reason and cause. The fact that you have certain talents and that you could work and that you had health and strength to work. That all flows forth from His goodness. It's not because of you or me. It's not because of our abilities that we were blessed. There are other people who live elsewhere who are more able than we are, more intelligent than we are, who by far do not have what we have. If you walk in the light of the sun, you don't need a candlestick. If the Lord in His fullness and grace blesses, the Lord does not need our abilities or talents. The Lord is full of goodness. When the people of Israel were traveling through the wilderness and the fiery pillar shed light upon their path, they didn't need a little oil lamp. No, there was enough in the shining fire that went before them. The Lord cared for them. And that's how it went throughout the entire scriptures. In the Lord there is a fullness of wisdom. In the Lord there is a fullness of power. There's a fullness of provision. In the Lord there is a fullness of worthiness to satisfy all our needs. In the Lord Jesus there's a fullness of worthiness to satisfy God's justice. In the Lord Jesus, there's a fullness of holiness to sanctify. He is a fountain because of His willingness and readiness to wash away our uncleanness. He is the tree of life. And we can say He brings forth 12 fruits throughout the year, every month. That's the abundance and the fullness and the perpetuity of joy and gladness, and He gives it in abundance. The Lord Jesus Christ is the river of living water, clear as crystal. In Psalm 65, we read about the river of God, which is full of water. That's a depiction of the Lord Jesus and the fullness that He gives. The purity of Christ. The full payment that Christ gave. The perfection of Christ, whereby He works in people's lives. He is the storehouse of all spiritual and daily treasure and blessing. Having Christ, we have all with Him. We need nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. And to obey what He tells us to do in doing our daily work and being faithful, but looking unto the Lord Jesus, following Him, we have all the strength and all the blessing we need. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were continually tempted to trust in Egypt and the armies of Egypt, or they would trust in Assyria to help them, or they always needed outside powers, but the prophet said, don't trust in Egypt and don't look to Assyria, because there's enough in the Lord your God. All human help is vain. It's like an empty well, while the Lord is a full fountain of never-ending blessing. And that's why the disciples had been cared for in the past, and that's why they were going to be cared for in the future, even when matters had to change now, even which they had to be vigilant, even when they had to come out from under the shade and under the wings and face the harsh reality of this world. They would be cared for. And it's because of the fullness of Christ that we have been blessed. His undeserved mercy towards us. And the Lord Jesus merited that ability of giving grace by suffering on the cross. There He was in stark poverty. There He had nothing. No clothing. There He thirsted. There He had no consolation. No comfort. No arm around Him. not even the loving kindness of his God. It was all taken away from him. He was in drought. I thirst. He was in greatest misery, for he was under the wrath and the punishment that we had deserved, yet he bore it all out of love for his children. And because he bore it all, he is now able to fulfill every need. And so on Thanksgiving Day, we are called to humble ourselves on account of all God's undeserved goodness. And that brings us then to the calling, the calling. For when we see that the disciples lack nothing, and when we see that we have lacked nothing, what is our calling? To be humble, to be lowly of heart. Our calling is to be focused upon the Lord. That's the true evidence of thanksgiving. It is to trust in him, to be thankful for him. The true evidence of thanksgiving is that we are no longer our own, but that we belong to the Lord with our heart and soul, with our body, with all we have, that our life would be devoted to him, that he would take the first priority in our lives, that we would be focused upon him. That's the evidence of true thanksgiving. The Lord is entitled to receive ourselves as a living sacrifice to him because he is God. He created us. He sustains us. He blesses us daily. He gives us his Son as God's unspeakable gift. He lays out before us everlasting life. He gives us his word, his salvation. Does he not be entitled to everything of us? Doesn't the Lord repeatedly refer us to Christ Jesus? Was there no voice from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And Moses and Elijah were there speaking to the Lord Jesus. But Moses and Elijah vanished in the cloud. And from the cloud the voice, "This is my Son. Hear him." And that's rendering true thanksgiving to the Lord when we hear him. Not Moses, not Elijah, not any human being, but the totality of our lives should be dependent upon Christ. His precepts we should seek to obey. His promises we should seek to rest upon. His judgments, we should fear God's judgments. His mercies, we should draw nigh to him and rejoice in him because of all his mercies. We should be focused upon the Lord Jesus. He is the mediator. He is the prophet. He reveals the counsel of God the Father. He gives power to his word to work out conversion. He called Lazarus by his word. And he still calls sinners by his word. He still converts sinners through his word. And therefore it's our calling to look to him, because we need him. He is everything. Our eyes must be upon him, as the eyes of the people of Israel were upon the fiery pillar. So our eyes must be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Son of God was present in that fiery pillar. The Son of God was present in that cloud governing the people of Israel. And the Lord Jesus is still present. We don't see a cloud. We don't see a fiery pillar. But the Lord is here. He is in His Word. And what is richer, to look at a cloud or to look at the fullness of His Word? We have much more, congregation. We have His living Word. Look to His Word. Are you grateful? Is there true thanksgiving in your heart? Then look to His Word. That means study His Word. Read it. Reread what you just read, because you miss a lot when you read it once. And think about what you read. And bring it before the Lord in prayer. Then you're looking at that cloud. Then you're looking at that fiery pillar. And if you don't want to be deceived in life, look to His Word. Look to the Lord Jesus. People nowadays are concerned about truth. What is truth? And we wonder what is true. Well, look to Christ and immerse yourself in the doctrine of Christ, and you will be led into the only truth. People are concerned about being deceived. Well, look to Christ. There you find the truth. There you will see the beauty of Christ shining upon you, because He cares for you. If you have really lacked nothing, then your calling must be to close with Christ. That the Lord Jesus would be the end of all discussion, of all questions, of all concerns, resting upon Him. People are concerned about death, but look to the Lord Jesus, for He is life. People are concerned about the future. Again, focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the future in His hands. He is leading everything to the new earth and the new heavens, and new Jerusalem shall descend from heaven. Don't look at human reasonings. For human reasonings will ultimately not help you. Human philosophies will not quicken you. Man's wisdom is foolishness. The beginning of wisdom is to fear and to know the Lord. And therefore, is there true thankfulness in your heart? Focus then upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him have your heart. Let Him have your soul. He will make you wise unto salvation. He will give you wisdom and understanding what you should do in daily life. Like Paul had when he went on that ship, he received wisdom of the Lord, and he said we should not sail out with the ship because the winter season is approaching. We should stay right here. But the people didn't listen to him, and the captain of the ship sailed out. Paul used his common sense, and yet in the midst of all the storm, the Lord cared for him. And he said to the people, you should eat. Look, I'm eating now. It's a raging storm, but I'll eat bread. He gave thanks to the Lord, and he ate bread, and others were also comforted, and they also started to eat bread, because we have to use our common sense. Not say God will provide. No, we use our common sense. And then still believe that He must provide, and He will provide. Abide in Christ. And the Lord will give you wisdom and understanding what you need to do. Look to the Lord Jesus. Never leave Him, but stay close to Him. A sheep should not wander away from a shepherd. He should not go out to the wolf thinking the wolf is so kind. We should not go out wandering in the world thinking other people of the world, they're not so bad, and you don't have to be so strict. Then you're putting yourself in a snare. Live as close as you can to the Lord. And ungodly, wicked people cannot be our companions. We are to show kindness to them and friendliness. We are to testify to them. But they can't be our own heart friends. They fear not God. They will lead you astray. If you're under treatment of a prominent physician, a good doctor, then you don't go to someone else who claims he is a doctor but has no credentials. He's actually ignorant of medicine, but he seems to be a nice person. You don't go there with your physical ailments. It was so foolish of the men in the days of King David to go after that revolutionary man, Sheba, who revolted against King David in 2 Samuel 20. And so we should not turn away from Christ, but cleave to Him. The closer, the better it is. And so these disciples who claimed and could testify that they had no lack in the past, they may have sure hope for the future, knowing the Lord would still supply their every need. And so you, using the means you have, being diligent, not lazy, entrusting yourself to the Lord, may trust that He will provide for you. New struggles would come for the disciples. And they were made willing even to lay down their life for the sake of the Lord Jesus, knowing that He would still provide for them. For He had told them, rejoice greatly when they persecute you. When you suffer for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. He would still provide. And so, congregation, as we look back at this year, you must say, we lack nothing. And then you are called now to have trust in the Lord. In the fullness of the Lord, that He will still provide for you. In this same night, the Lord Jesus would provide for them. And what happened? He was arrested. They were shocked. They never believed it to be possible. And they were scattered and they fled in every direction. And the Lord Jesus was still providing for them. They didn't realize that. He was now going to the cross to pay for Peter's denial. He was going to pay for the fact that all the disciples had forsaken Him. He was going to pay for their sins. And He would give them grace that they still banded together. They didn't all scatter. They came together again. Was grace of the Lord. And they were in the upper room. They were in desolation, but they were together. And then the Lord will provide for them. For on the evening of the third day, He stood in their midst. Shalom. Peace be unto you. And they wondered, what is this? He is alive. He provided for them. Above their expectations. And what will the Lord do in your life? You who look to Him, who need Him, He will provide for you above your expectations. Lack nothing. And the disciples, their perception was wrong. Their faith was lacking. Their hope was shattered. They had not paid attention to the words of Christ. They had not listened to what the Lord Jesus had told them, that He would arise on the third day. They had been told to hear Him. If they had done that, they would not have been in such despondency. And so we are called to listen, to focus upon His Word that will keep you from despair and from despondency. And yet, in spite of the failings of the disciples, the Lord came over. This sorrow was changed into joy. And in spite of our many weaknesses, the Lord is still faithful. And He delivers and leads further. And so we must look to the One who provided for us in this past year undeserved goodness. And so we are to rest in Jesus Christ. In the midst of the tensions in this world, we may rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have good hope, firm trust. But obey His voice. Listen to Him. Humble yourself. And He will guide you above your expectation. And then the moment will come that you who have trusted in the Lord, who have sought to trust in Him, who have tried to live according to His will, who have tried to meditate upon His Word, who have tried to be focused upon Him in the midst of all your struggles, your attempts are not in vain. You who look to Him, He will take you to be where He is. And then, if it will be possible, in that moment that you are entering the celestial city, if it would be possible that you would look behind and you see all the days of your life, you will say, I lacked nothing. But I don't think you'll be looking behind you. I think you will be looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will confess to Him, Thou hast made all things well. Lord, I lacked nothing. Amen. Shall we give thanks to the Lord? For whom else can we go to, Lord, but Thee alone? For Thou art the fullness of care, of compassion, of power, of ability. What comfort that Thou art there in full control. O Lord God, Thy people can never perish. Thou shalt lead them on by the riches of Thy loving kindness. Wilt Thou do so, Lord, also in our midst? Wilt Thou give grace in all our circumstances? Be with those who suffer ill health, those who have to go for doctor's appointments, who wonder how it shall be, or who have loved ones, Lord, in dire circumstances. We pray Thee, Lord, be a fullness of grace to them, as Thou hast been in the past. Wilt Thou graciously continue to do so? And Lord, we thank Thee for what Thou hast given in food and drink, in clothing in abundance, that businesses could prosper, that our daily work could continue, that health workers, doctors, nurses receive strength to do their work. We thank Thee for our government, for our police force, for what Thou hast given us in this nation. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy church, and Thy church that is worldwide. Lord, wilt Thou extend Thy kingdom. Wilt thou go with us now in thy grace? Wilt thou give traveling mercies to thy servant as he will be going to the meeting abroad? Watch over him. Bring him safely back in our midst. And wilt thou give us, Lord, thy blessing, that we may really see also in the future that in the midst of all the work that may be done, that we will lack nothing. Yes, look so upon us all in thy mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen.